pressure comes on. And Loris, I just saw the headline of your newsletter. I was, don't lose heart, right? That's the thing, is the world's losing heart. It's losing heart in its people. It's losing heart, you know, in its governments. It's losing heart in all of these things. We know what the answer is. We've got it here in the house. And that's why the churches themselves are flat out excited. All right, that's why there's songs coming out that are so anointed. That's why there's preaching coming out. Doesn't matter where you turn to. I even picked up a book the other day by Charles Spurgeon, and I started reading it. Now, it was written a long time ago, wasn't it, Sandra? All right, and he's speaking the same thing. All right, he's talking to us about being prepared, being ready for what the Holy Spirit and what Jesus is going to do here on earth. And it's just so exciting. I just want to give honor to Julie for the past few weeks, the messages she's been bringing to us. Because in this period of uncertainty, is there's one thing we can all do, and that is for ourselves to ensure we're doing what we can do on a personal basis. Spending time in His Word, being out there. All right, that's what this encouragement is, coming from all sources today to each one of us. It's not to say, look, you're being slack, you're doing the wrong thing. It's to encourage you to be ready, be excited about what's coming, to be in store. Don't be in the back room at the wrong time doing something that you shouldn't be doing, all right? He's calling us to be ready right now. And I just thank Julie for those messages in these past few weeks, or months actually, really. And it's happening not just here, but it's happening everywhere. Like even today, have a look. It's not the best day outside today. And here you are. You've turned up. You're faithful people here, ready to fellowship, to spend time with the Holy Spirit, to hear what the Word of God is. And that's continuing to happen. Is a lot of the church has felt that once we started to come back together, personally, that there probably might be a falling off, you know, in the churches. Exact opposite's happening. The houses are starting to fill up. There's people coming that haven't even ever been in churches. And it's exciting. You know, as we're going to see as things start to unfold, this house just continue to fill. You know, people that you've been praying for years will start to come in and start to hear and know what the Word of the Lord is saying to them. And it's exciting. I'm just going to read this little bit, and this is not my message. My message will come in a sec. But I'm reading a number of books at the moment, and doesn't matter. Every book you pick up, I don't know whether it's just what the Holy Spirit's saying to me or what, but it's all about this encouragement. It's all about, you know, be ready, be prepared, you know, look to the Lord. But does everyone know who R.M. Williams is? You know, the bloke who makes boots and saddles and belts and, or he used to, because he's not alive anymore. But this is a quote from R.M. Williams. If the man Jesus were to step inside my door or come knocking, would I know him? Would I welcome him? I might. What would he say to me, looking through my facade of respectability into my soul? If it were what he said to the rich young man, sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. It comes out of Luke 18:22. I would not recognize him or abide by his words. I am torn by the tragedy of it all. How do I follow him? How would I know God if I saw him? And that's an interesting question, isn't it? Yeah, because he's asked here now, because R.M. Williams began life, he left home at 15, went out into the outback, couldn't read or write, but his mother had given him a Bible. And as things transpired through his life, he continued to read how words were put together, learn how to spell, what words meant and what they were. He didn't necessarily have an interest in the Bible, but the Bible had a big influence on him in what it taught him. And he continued on. He became very successful, met up with another man, I think his name was Dollar Bob, but they got together to make saddles and belts and boots and things like that. And he went on to become very successful. And he always questioned then how he would be if he was asked by the Lord to sell everything and to come follow him. And it was a question that hung with him. And that's why I just wanted to read that. It's a question that we need to address in our own lives. Where are we at? Are we ready to follow Jesus? Are we ready to walk away from the things that would hold us here? Or are we going to get left behind? And the thing is, the reason Julie has been bringing these messages is she loves you so much. Her heart loves you guys and girls so much that she is prepared to even offend some in order to help us understand to be ready, not to miss out. Because, you know, success to God, the one thing, success to God, and it's answered in one verse. Well done, good and faithful servant, each one of us in this house. As our measure of faith, we've all been given a measure of faith. Are we continuing to develop and build and grow that up as the Holy Spirit moves in our lives? And as I leave that with you today, that's where Julie's at. That's where Pastor Paul is at. That's where anyone who brings the word in this house wants to just encourage you, because we love you so much. We don't want anyone to miss out, all right? And God himself doesn't want anyone to miss out. It's his will that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life. And that's exciting. That's for each one of us in this house. And I just encourage each one of you. As I go into my word today, Sandra encourages me every time I come together, and she says, even the words, the one-liners you think are just throwaway lines, and I think about those things, I just get these little revelations as I sit and spend time with God, and he keeps, you know, just flicking things past me, and I think, oh yeah, I just got to write that down, and then they become my little one-liners. So thank you, Sandra, for that. And I'm just going to actually just read a couple of those one-liners before I kick into my. I've got pages and pages of them, but you know, they're not mine necessarily, but. This one, John 6:29, to believe. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The will of the Father. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In John 18:36, my kingdom, not of this world. If it were, my servants would carry swords. We're about doing things differently. 1 John 5:19 and verse B, that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And if you don't doubt that, you only have to have a quick look around, all right? What Jesus does, he gives us these little capsules of his protection, his peace, his love, his joy that we clothe ourselves in, and allows us to go out into the world, not of it, because it doesn't come against us, you know, because he's protected us from that. In my message today, I'll come to a little thing, but it talks about unschooled and ordinary. And would that cover most of us in this room? Unschooled and ordinary. And as we continue, if you keep turning up to Sandra's things, you'll become a little more schooled and a little more schooled. And as you come along to church and you start to read the word and school, all right? But when I get to that in the word today, you'll go, oh, that's what he was talking about. Over here. Not to just dissect the book. A lot of people just want to take the Bible and dissect it, all right? We don't want you just to do that, all right? But to experience the Word of God is that at the moment I'm reading this book. It's the Bible in Australia, a cultural significance or something, but it's about the Bible and its effect in Australia. A lot of people have picked the Bible up, atheists and people who don't believe in God in any way, just to read it, to see what it says. But they're affected then by the spirit of the book, the Holy Spirit that works in their lives. And their lives have been changed, all right? They've given their lives over to him. So it's not just to dissect it. It's to actually experience it. Peter has been emboldened by the Holy Spirit, you know, in the word that we'll bring today. And that's what we desire, this new boldness. Here's an interesting one. Demon spirits are more open to bowing to his name than we are. That's a a sad indictment to, in a lot of churches, all right, because the demon spirits know the authority of Jesus and that. But how are we in just submitting our lives and surrendering over? Is that, I know, I struggle in it. My pride rises up. You know, is that I think, oh, well, I've been fairly successful. I can do things. You know, I'm fairly capable. But, you know, that's got to go out of us. Those thinking that we can. Our job is not to make the thing happen, but to believe in him who can. And I'll just leave my one-liners. We'll leave them there for another time, okay? My message today is moving our treasure from earth to heaven. Is that, because we know the scripture, don't we? Where your treasure is, there your heart lies, all right? And if we're very good at here on earth stuff, is most of us have had a good education, we've become skilled at what we do, we do our trade well, we do our things well, and we've become very good at operating in the earthly. I would encourage us, though, that most of us, like the rest of us, aren't that good at operating in the heavenly. And I just want to encourage you today that as we start to look about becoming prepared, being ready, is to start to lay up our treasures in heaven so that our hearts will start to turn there. So that when we wake up each morning, the first thing we'll desire is to be and to get in touch with the heavenly realm, to be with Jesus, to be and understand and to know him. Because that's what will draw us, is that the things of this world are falling away. They're going to fade away. They're going to rust. They're going to rot. They're going to be gone, all right? And they'll be of no value to you in any sort of way, all right? It's the day you stand before Jesus, all right? Excitingly, when you stand before Jesus, you're already clothed in his righteousness. You will not face judgment there, but you will give account, all right? Because if you're standing there washed in Jesus' blood, you're not under judgment there. That's already been dealt with, all right? But you will give account, and he will ask, what have you been up to with what he's given you? And Julie brought a message a little while back about the talents. That was just to encourage us about what we've got in our hands, what we're doing. The next thing I'm going to ask you to do is actually, if you have your Bible with you, to open it up to Acts and chapter 3. We're going to do Acts chapter 3 and 4 today. Interestingly, I'll just read this other one. Well, it's not a one-liner, it's a couple of lines. But this came from Julie, or it was actually from Southern Life, the little things on Facebook. And it says, the Bible doesn't work like Facebook, where your likes or opinions matter. God's word is true, regardless whether you agree with it or not. So today what I'm going to do is actually read his word, irrespective then of whether you like me, don't like me, agree, disagree. At least the word will wash over you, and you can choose whether you want to take it up with God to argue the point or whether you want to actually accept what he's got to say. Is that fair? Because I just, for myself, is that I often, you know, get downloads from the Holy Spirit. Excitingly, they're probably all for me, okay? And I think, oh, you know, what he's told me, I've got to go and tell someone else now, all right? But, you know, God wants to speak to you personally and reveal to you what he wants for you personally. So a lot of the time is I've got to just bite my tongue a little bit and not get too flat out excited and try and annoy everyone with what the Holy Spirit is, you know, bringing up. But so today, I'll read what I wrote down. What I would like to do today is read some scripture to you. Having read it myself a number of times, God has revealed a number of things to me through his word. What's more important, though, is not what he has revealed to me, because that's important to me, but what he wants to reveal to each of you personally. Most of what God reveals to us as individuals is for our benefit, but most of us, like the rest of us, we don't think of it for ourselves, but it must be for someone else. And I just encourage you today, grab hold of it for yourself. As we go through these scriptures today, for me they reveal the church I'm part of as a greater body of Christ, a church alive and active, a church that has the answers to any and every event that could occur, and most importantly, It is not dependent on me or any other person, because as people, we will let each other down. We don't mean to, but sometimes, you know, we'll have a different point of view or we'll do something different and we'll feel let down. So it's the good thing is that it's not, God's church is not dependent on us as people getting everything right. Because we will let you down. But on relying on Jesus, his death on the cross paying the only sacrifice that could redeem mankind, and his resurrection bringing new life, the only one who can say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus is the only one that can do that. Each one of us in here, we have a period of time that we've been given. We've been married, we've been together for a long time, things like that. Stuff happens. We will feel let down. We will have to grieve and things like that. That's part of human nature. But Jesus wants to step in and be with you in all of that. So let's turn over into Acts 3. I'm reading from the NIV, and I apologise as I read out of different ones, but this is my one. You'll probably notice that it's the one I spend most time with, and it's as such, it's starting to fall apart. But it's the one I highlight and put things through and things like that. So let's begin at 3 and verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Men of Moriah, why does this surprise you what Jesus does? Men of wherever, why does this surprise you? And why do you stare at us as if by our power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people.' Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many have spoken, have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." And I'm going to continue on into 4. Let's have a quick sip here. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. What happened here? 5,000 people built into the church. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men? They're out in doing things in Jesus' name." Oh, that's my bit. They asked, "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. And on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? Kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. And indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Woohoo! Is that not a church you would like to be part of? Is that not the church of the living God that we're part of today? My prayer is for each one of us in this house that, as with Peter and John, you know, the Holy Spirit emboldened them, gave them power. They're ordinary men emboldened by the power of the Holy Spirit. But importantly, people recognized that they had been with Jesus. What an amazing thing. What a lovely recognition in their lives. Is that what's happening for us? Do people recognize that we have been with Jesus? Do they recognize that, you know, we've spent time in fellowship with him each day, you know, minutes, hours, you know, it can be days, weeks, you know. He just loves being in fellowship. You know, prayer is a two-way thing. You know, we speak to him, he speaks to us. All right, but I'd encourage you, as the messages over these last few weeks, months, all right, is be prepared. Be seen with Jesus. Be caught up in what Jesus wants to speak to us. Be involved in his word. Be involved in his church. Be involved, word for today. Amazing, these last few weeks, or this particularly this last, you know, whenever it kicked off, all right, there's been some amazing things. Even today where it says, oh, you know, it's a bit tough, the word that he brought today in the word for today. But, you know, it's the truth. We need to recognize that sin and death and all these other things are in operation in the world around us. But Jesus is out there still working through his people. You know, we're laborers with God in what he does. And a good friend of mine gave me this little bit of an insight. He said, really, this is how we are as laborers with God. He said, you know, imagine you're on your ride-on mower and you've got your five-year-old. Zeke, you might like to listen to this one. But you're sitting in your dad's lap and you're running around mowing the lawn. And the five-year-old says, look, look, I'm mowing the lawn. And the father says, yes, son, you're doing well. And that's a bit how God is with us, all right? We're sitting in his lap. He's out there driving the mower and reaping the harvest, all right? And we're in there going, I'm working with God in this. And he says, well done. And he loves being with his children. He loves having us involved in things with him, all right? And that's what he does. But as I just close the word up this morning, is just a couple of things out of that is that they were ordinary unskilled men who had been with Jesus. That's for each one of us in this room. Ordinary unskilled men and women empowered by the Holy Spirit who had been with Jesus. The world and its leaders will conspire against God and Jesus, but he's overcome that. The world did it back there. It's still doing it today. It will try and tell you that there is no answer in Jesus Christ. There is no answer in the church. And all around us, we're seeing this continue to happen. But it's already a done deal. The word tells us that Jesus will continue and he will remain in heaven until the Father sends him down. We and all the others are to repent, turn to God, so that a time of refreshing may come. Is that, you know, if you already don't know Jesus as your personal saviour in your life, there is no other name except Jesus. We read that here today, all right? That's not from me. That's from God's word. There is no other name by which man can be saved. And I'm going to have an opportunity for you today if you want to come later on and just acknowledge God, acknowledge Jesus in your life, we'll be doing that. It's only by the name of Jesus and the faith in him. The disciples prayed and honoured God and gave a good report. That's our role, to pray, praise and give a good report. All right, be encouraged. Encourage others in what it is. And later on, they asked for boldness, they asked for the miracles, healing, and then the Holy Spirit moved. And are we asking? Are we expecting it? Are we anticipating a move of the Holy Spirit in our lives, all around us, in our churches? You know, I just encourage you in that, okay? We're going to have another song now. Afterwards, as I said, we're going to have just an opportunity. If you don't already know Jesus, it will be an opportunity to come. If you'd like prayer for boldness, you know, just to step in to being a laborer with God with a new boldness, a new touch of the Holy Spirit, we'll take that opportunity to do that as well here today. And there'll be those, Sandra and those will join with us in praying if anyone would like that to come to pass. So thank you for your time today. And thank you, Jean, for the next song.
Step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether wonderful.